Heart disease and cancer are the top two killers in this country, but the third leading cause of death in the U.S. might surprise you. It's medical errors. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine made this discovery recently. The study team was led by Marty McCary, and he joins us now. Thanks so much for joining us, Marty.
Great to be with you, Celeste.
Also with us is Emory University medical ethicist John Banja. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Marty, what is a medical error? What does that include?
Well, it includes preventable complications, patients falling through the cracks in the system, and unnecessary treatments, things that happen that shouldn't happen, or collectively we refer to it as medical care gone wrong.
I want to play, John, a comment from Jerry Giannoli. He's a surgeon in Louisiana and a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. He says the data in this report doesn't add up for him.
In order to get to that 250,000 number they're talking about, 35% of all hospital deaths would have to be due to medical errors, which just on the face of it sounds ridiculous. I mean, I've been around hospitals for 30 years, and I've sat on a lot of morbidity and mortality conferences, and I find that number just hard to believe.
What do you think, John? Is this number hard to believe?
No, not at all. I think the value of Dr. McCary's study is pointing out that the data that we have right now on error-related deaths only comes from acute care hospitals. When you factor in all the other visits that patients make to their primary care providers, to same-day surgery centers, to rehabilitation hospitals, where error-related deaths could also occur, I could easily see that number going up, 200, 300, 1,000. The fact of the matter is, though, that these numbers are really predicated, and they've been developed by statisticians and epidemiologists, and these folks should know what they're doing and what they're talking about.
And yet, let me play for you, Marty, another comment from the same physician, Jerry Giannoli, of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and he says fewer people are dying in hospitals.
That's in spite of the number of admissions have gone up, the age of the patients have gone up, and the complexity of the medical problems the patients have has gone up. So if anything, the problem is getting better, not getting worse.
He points to data from the CDC that shows hospital deaths inpatient dropped by 10% between 20 and 2010. How am I to understand all the differing data?
Well, I think there's opinion and there's science. And as a practicing surgeon, I certainly have no trouble accepting what the data show. And the data show clearly that up to 10% of all deaths in the United States are preventable in the short term. That is, are due to preventable complications, patients falling through the cracks, and unnecessary treatments. And you know, Celeste, almost everyone in America has a story. They have a loved one, they have a friend, they have someone that was harmed. You know, we did not do original research on medical errors. Instead, what we did is we did an analysis of the best existing data out there from the New England Journal of Medicine and Health Affairs and all the best medical science journals. And it was clear to us that public health has sort of matured in isolation of the medical science on medical error. And the number that we've been citing in healthcare, by the way, for which there's 100% consensus, is that about 100,000 people die a year from medical error. That number's been out there since 1999 from a famous Institute of Medicine report. It is the most highly cited report in all of the entire medical literature on quality and safety. Well, that number's based on a 1984 study, in part. We've been citing that 1984 study, which, by the way, it was not a very good study. And we've been citing that number that 100,000 people die a year from medical error for decades as if it hasn't changed. Well, all we did was update that number based on the best available science in the medical literature. And what we found is that the most conservative estimate was about 200,000. Our point estimate was 250,000, and the range was 200,000 to 400,000. Anywhere in that range places the problem of medical care gone wrong as the third leading cause of death, well above the currently listed number three cause of death, respiratory disease, on the CDC's list.
And we should remember, as you mentioned, this medical error includes undertreatment, overtreatment, errors in diagnoses, overdosing, also falling through the cracks, which sometimes happens because of issues with the insurance. And John, why is it worse in the United States than it is in other developed countries? What is it that we're not doing that they are, say, in Europe?
I don't know about that. I don't think we have good comparative data to show how we fare in comparison to Canada, the United Kingdom, and Europe. In fact, I believe there are some studies that might indicate that we deliver safer health care in the United States than occurs in other countries. The thing, though, that's really upsetting to me is the fact that our health care in the United States is the most expensive health care in the world. So here you have the most expensive health care system that nevertheless is witnessing error-related deaths constituting the third leading cause. So if these are truly errors, by the way, that these are truly error-related deaths that we're talking about, they should be preventable. And consequently, the question really is how come we're not doing better? By the way, I would like to make one comment about the previous physician who was saying that our discharges from hospitals, have a 10% decrease in the number of deaths. That may be the case. But if that patient is discharged home or to a nursing home and then dies 2 days later, a week later, a month later, from a medical error, I will guarantee you that that death will never be recorded as an error-related death. It'll be recorded as something else.
We did reach out to the CDC for a statement, since a lot of this research is based on CDC responses, and many of these numbers are excluded from the official health statistics. We didn't get a response to them. But ProPublica talked to Bob Anderson for their coverage of this issue. He's the chief of mortality statistics for the CDC, and he says complications from medical care are listed on death certificates, and codes do capture them. Although this is a suggestion, and let me go back once more to our physician, Jerry Giannoli, who says the suggestion is to add a box which would allow a physician to say that somebody died because of medical error. He's not, he doesn't think that's the right approach.
The recommendations that he made were that there should be a check spot on death certificates for if there is a medical error. Now, this is very misguided, mainly because death certificates are basically just a really good guess at why people died. And their correlation with autopsy findings is very poor.
So, Marty, how do we address the issue of what health statistics are excluded and how we keep better records?
Well, unfortunately, Celeste, this topic of medical errors has become very territorial. And as a practicing physician with a busy cancer surgery practice at Johns Hopkins, I can tell you that we need to change our approach to the problem. Unfortunately, there's this selective outrage that if we measure medical errors, we have to have every case documented with an autopsy. Well, guess what? We don't do that for the other causes of death listed in National Health Statistics by the CDC. When someone dies and we fill out a death certificate as a physician, medical examiner, or coroner, we list in our judgment what we believe to be the underlying and immediate causes of death. And that gets screened by the CDC, and they code what we write down. And they code based on billing codes. Why? Because in 1949, that's the only classification system they had. Well, people don't just die from bacteria and heart disease. They can also die from an overdose or a closed insurance network that results in fragmented care. We need to stop seeing this problem as a territorial, oh, doctors are bad or there's bad doctors out there. That's really not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a system that allows patients to fall through the crack. We're talking about system-level problems. And every doctor that I know If you ask them, do you see care that's egregious, that shouldn't be happening, they'll say yes. If you ask them, is there a doctor in practice that you know of that should not be practicing, every doctor knows of somebody. We need to create a safer system.
Yeah, they won't go on the record, though. They're not going to go on the record and say that.
Well, these people that argue with the numbers, I say, why don't we just measure the problem like we do heart disease and cancer? I mean, as a cancer surgeon, we spend millions collecting cancer statistics every year. Why can't we measure the problem of medical care gone wrong?
Well, let's examine that, John, in the couple minutes that we have left. And part of the reason some doctors, as Marty alluded to, some doctors complain that they're worried about lawsuits and liability. What is the difference between a medical error and malpractice?
Well, the medical error has got to morph into harm, compensable harm, compensable damages. In fact, most errors that occur don't cause harms. And in fact, most bad things that happen to patients in hospitals are not the result of errors. So for a case to go to medical malpractice, you have to have an error that has caused considerable harm, harm that you can attach a dollar figure to, and then if you're on the plaintiff's side, hope that you're going to make a compelling case before the jury that, in fact, this compensable harm occurred. But, you know, going back just a step or two and really following up on Marty's remarks, it seems to me that there's no question that the 20th and the 21st centuries, we've evolved a rather dysfunctional reaction to errors. When a serious error occurs, we either run away from it, we deny it, we rationalize, we build a wall of silence around it. We don't want to talk to the harmed parties. We don't want to say, I'm sorry or I apologize. I think that this has really been one of the major reasons why we've not made more progress since the Institute of Medicine's report came out in 1999 and presumably the patient safety movement began.
So we'll have really to end it there. Sadly, Emory University medical ethicist John Banja has lots to say about this because it's interesting. And Johns Hopkins University Professor of Medicine Marty McCarry led this study into medical errors. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.